Good morning. Today is Tuesday, August the 11th, another foggy North Coast morning. Joining us this morning out of the core of the fog, Greg Foster from Redick.
We got the machines running down here. We're pumping all the fog out.
And it's a beautiful thing, baby, as contrasted to 105. Fog is my friend.
Anytime.
Yeah, exactly.
I lived in the Central Valley long enough during school and afterwards that I'll take this.
I spent enough time up in the cabin in the Trinity River Valley. I don't need it.
No.
I don't have to travel that far, Greg. Why do we say that this morning, Winston?
Trying to stay awake this morning. I got sit on one's hands or shirt off one's back.
Take your pick. Which one?
How about sit on one's hands?
All right, sit on somebody's hands. I think that. What do you think, Greg?
You know, I think I've always used it in the context of before you make a decision or execute something, sitting on your hands and thinking about it. And my hunch is that it has to do with I don't know.
I'm thinking either youngsters in church.
You know, that could be it.
Or at the dinner table.
There you go.
Are either of those close, Winston?
Not really.
Okay.
We get the expression sitting on one's hands to describe an unresponsive person from the theater, where if the audience sits on its hands, it obviously cannot applaud.
The bard strikes again.
Yeah, I know that feeling, though.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Crickets. My speech is over now. Please applaud or I will continue.
Exactly.
Oh, my. So how is life in the big city treating you?
Well, you know, you said something about being August, I think, and it's actually really still March. It's the 500th day of March. It's interesting to move through this, and we have about 60 or so businesses that we directly have invested in and been talking to them and how they're doing, and there's some, you know. I guess I'm an optimistic guy, so I'm always looking for some silver linings. And we're seeing a lot of creativity. Our portfolio, actually, the businesses there are great. You know, some of them are shut down and are doing the best they can to sort of keep going, maybe doing, little bits of business here and there. But I still see, you know, and we call through, obviously, talking to folks, and there's still a fair amount of, we're going to make it through this. We're optimistic. You know, things are going great. We're doing some other stuff. The businesses that do particularly well that we're seeing, well, you know, specifically during the summer is the tourism businesses that are doing okay. And I talked to a few of the lodging folks, some of who are in our portfolio. And they're getting inundated with calls right now, and so their capacity and occupancy is up. Some of them are rotating rooms in and out of inventory to do cleaning, so they may not be available every night. You know, you may never groups or a family or a couple or whatever stays. They take the room out of inventory to do a thorough cleaning, so they don't resell the room right away. But there seems to be a lot of tourism and you can walk down the street and see that. Other types of businesses that are selling outside the area, I'm talking to one who, when we started talking about a new project with them before this all happened, and when this happened, they said, okay, we're going to put this on hold. We're going to see what happens, right? it's March, February, March, about the time when we're having the conversation. Let's talk again in July. Because we're just going to give this 6 months or whatever it is. And I had a conversation with them the other day, and I said, well, so, and I was part of a group of lenders talking to them, and they said, we are having our best year ever. And there is this theory, and I'm sure there's probably some data around it, that people, even in bad times, will go towards, you know, higher end beers, higher end foods, you know, the higher end cheeses, that sort of thing, which are now the affordable luxury. So instead of going out for a trip or going out to an expensive dinner, you buy some of this stuff that you may not buy as much before. So this business is doing really well. I've talked to some of our cannabis businesses, and they seem to be doing, you know, okay, and some are hiring back after a layoff. So
yeah, I was wondering if the business trend overall, I mean, you can see lines out and all that kind of stuff, and some of us, you know, react differently to seeing that, but are they hitting what their projections were?
Pre-pandemic projections.
Right. This time last year when you gave them the loan.
Right. You know, some are. But they were, you know, they may be the types of businesses who aren't affected by this. You know, we have folks who do work in the woods. We have some other kind of, you know, businesses or services that don't necessarily directly link to, you know, like consumer goods or you know, entertainment or food or whatever.
Right, right.
So those kind of businesses tend to do well. You know, where we still have a big problem, obviously, is for some of those, you know, the restaurants, some of the other kinds of service industries, where they are, you know, they've laid off staff, and so we do have an employment issue still. So while they may be hitting certain margins and maybe saying, okay, we're financially healthy given the new reality, or, you know, at least not in a financial basket case, we can make our loan payment or whatever. They're doing so on a much reduced volume. And of course, then they reduce their expenses, and the biggest expense is typically labor. So we still do have, you know, a lot of folks who are not employed. We're you know, I haven't seen the July report yet, but you know, our, you know, a year ago we're talking about, oh gosh, you know, the labor market here is really tight, and we need to get more workers here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and improve our labor force. Well, you know, we don't have that issue right now. So,
well, and it'd be interesting to see how that starts to change, or how that is changing this week, next week, with either the actions or the inactions done in Washington. KINS,
yeah.
News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from Redec. Greg, the concept of different niches, and it's always been something that's kind of difficult, I think, for a lot of us. If we're looking at broad strokes, okay, put everybody in the same pot, stir it up, and we'll see where we are. But if you're trying to find out who the leaders are, you know, what niches are profitable, which ones aren't, you got the delay factor. But you've also got, in a small market, you could have two dominant players, and it really is going to skew what the picture is like for that particular industry on a local level because of the relative small numbers. How do you plow through that, or how do you make those allowances so that you get a real true reflection? Or do you just walk into a bunch of stores or make a bunch of phone calls so that you get a higher percentage of sampling?
It's a great question, and one of the biggest frustrations in our field is getting that good information on industry trends and where businesses are going, because it tends to come either from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is federal, or, you know, local, at the state level, it's the Employment Development Department or some other, and those are always delayed. And So you got to try to find some proxies and do a little of your own, what you know people will call ground truth, going out and seeing what's going on. One of the pieces of data that comes more quickly is sales tax. And it just gives you kind of a view, right, of what people are spending money on, and you can watch that. And the state reports that back to the cities more regularly, and some of the other data that we might get. And
does that come in niches or industry categories?
It does. Yeah, big broad ones, and they can also look at like the top sales tax producers. So, you know, you've got to get a sense of what's going on there. Even just on the broad, even without looking at, individual niches, so much of sales tax, you exclude food, of course. So, you're looking at what can be somewhat discretionary spending, although some items with sales tax are necessary. But you do get a sense in our consumer-driven economy, where things are going, right? And transit occupancy tax also, gets reported quarterly, so you can look at that. There's always, of course, a lot of variation in that from quarter to quarter just based on the nature of what tourism is like. So those are some of the things that I look at. But more importantly, I think, and this goes to the fact that we are a small community, we do have the ability to just get out and talk to people and ask and look around. And I find that very useful, because you can kind of get either a flavor, on sort of the bland data that you get from the state or the federal government. But you can also, get a real sense of who's doing well and what and not, and ask them, what's going on. And usually these business owners are pretty in tune with their market because they live it every day and they talk to people. And so I try to do that as well. And that often gives me some, good insight on what's going on here. And, can I draw conclusions? Well, right now it's tough, right? We're in a situation where we've never dealt with anything like this before. And so even when we had the last recession, I don't know, this is like a third I've been through in this job. Even though it was sort of quick moving, the 08, it's still slow moving compared to what we did here. Right. And there's sort of a natural progression that you go through in a recession that's sort of not affected by a piece of RNA that's floating around infecting people. So it's a little tougher now. So I think the key and the goal should be for all of us who are making decisions to get out of the office and start really talking to folks and see what's going on. I think that's sometimes the best way to inform public policy is to really get out there and find out what's going on.
Well, and to clear your head a little bit also. typically, when we talk about retail, one of the battles is the parking lot. Battle in the parking lot. Who has most cars there? What times of the day are the cars there? That kind of stuff. With the fact that so many restaurants now are outside,
mm-hmm.
can't really use that same equation because a lot of the parking lots are gone. There's a lot of sampling going on with the In-N-Out Burger franchise. Okay, that was certainly to be anticipated. But as you look at retail, can you do drive-bys anymore, or is it more talking to the UPS drivers and talking to like the food wholesalers, the Sysco's and folks like that, to find out, are you delivering to the restaurants or are you delivering to the grocery stores?
You hit on a good point there, which is look at those business supply kind of businesses that you're talking about, the B2B, business to business. And they really do have a good sense, right? Because they know how many deliveries they're making and what the order sizes are and all that. And that's a good way to do it. You counting cars and parking lots and that sort of thing. Now it's counting how many people are sitting out under the tents in the parking lot. And which, by the way, I love that we can eat outside more now, even though today might be a little more difficult. But
yeah, but you know, we've got this thing called winter coming up that's going to make that a whole different challenge also.
It's a lot harder. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with this conversation and Mr. Foster.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with REDEX Executive Director Greg Foster. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Baywood, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Mr. Foster himself. So Greg, looking at some of the different things that are out there, I know you are now, your agency is now coordinating another support mechanism for local businesses. I think that's probably the easiest way to describe it.
Yeah.
What niche is this filling? Is this more available funding for existing businesses, or is this for folks that may not have qualified for either the two larger funding things that have happened in the past? What niche are you in on this?
Well, so there's kind of two paths that REDEX has really been involved in, and this is even before, believe it or not, the shutdown. So one of the things we have been doing is coordinating a call. Literally, it started off as a Zoom call before the shutdown. And we started this with the understanding that, gosh, folks, and it looks like next week, this is in March, next week we're going to all be scattered into the four winds because we won't be able to come to our places of work. And that there is going to be unprecedented, A, economic pain as a result of this, and B, unprecedented need for a quick and coordinated response among multiple agencies dealing with multiple issues. And so we started a daily call, and now it's three times a week, and the Friday call actually involves Humboldt and Del Norte County. And we coordinate that, you know, and what that's done is allowed us to act quickly in the economic development realm and workforce. And so we have private lenders on there, public agencies, nonprofits, anyone who's sort of touching or helping businesses or get the word out around that are helping. And so that's sort of the regional cooperation response, quick action piece that we've been doing. And it's a very fairly simple mechanism, and it's really reliant upon each of the individuals or the organizations to really step up and do the work. But we knew that we didn't have time for a lot of planning, and we didn't have enough time for, you know, the sticky dots on the wall and long documents of strategy and tactics and goals and outcomes. It was like, we just got to get our act together and move. So we've been doing that since March. And then now REDEX, we were able to, and I, you know, we'll pat ourselves on the back a little bit with this. Our federal agency that provided our original grant back in 1977 still monitors us, and we're one of many of these types of loan funds throughout the country, and we are an A rate, what they call an A rated fund, an A, B, and C rating based on you know, the healthier portfolio and various other things. And we were really fortunate to be an A rated fund, and as a result, the state federal organization or federal administration through the CARES Act provided recapitalization grants to all their A-rated funds. And so what that means is we have an additional $4.6 million over the next couple years for lending. Now that's, you know, that basically doubles the size of what we held as REDAC money. We would take ours and we'd leverage it with other funding sources, so we actually even had more. But that's been really helpful. And so we're going to roll that. You know, we haven't approved the contract yet. There's obviously some federal contracting that we have to go through and all that to get that. And so we expect to have that money available in September. And that'll allow us to do a couple of things, one of which, of course, is just help more folks. But given the size and the nature of the way that's working, we might be able to offer, you know, better terms and be more flexible. What we've been trying to do, you know, we went into this pandemic with, you know, we survive on the health of our portfolio. These businesses have to pay their loans back for us to survive. And that's, you know, cash flow measured on a month-by-month basis. And so we've given people deferrals. You know, you can pay us later. We'll lengthen your loan terms. We'll do whatever we can to help you. What this is allowing us to do is to kind of keep doing that, to keep these people in business without bankrupting ourselves. So there's the sort of regional cooperation response piece that we're doing, and then there's also the individual programs around our portfolio. And
so how long can you do that, Greg? Or how long would you recommend a business, let's say I'm business restaurant A, and I'm running at 60% of what I was doing before I made the cutbacks, but I'm still not able to cover the nut. Okay. Right. 2 months, 6 months, a year, 18 months? Yeah, I mean, we've heard some people say 2023.
You know, we came out and said to folks, you can have, 6 months deferral of payments. And that doesn't mean we forgive the interest or anything like that, but you know, we may even end up doing that. Who knows? But the idea was, let's just, you know, don't make us part of your concern about cash flow in this next 6 months. Let's figure out some other stuff. And so, you know, that was, you know, we made that offer in March, early April. We figured that gets us through the summer. You know, where we all are very concerned is what happens, you know, at the end of October and November, if the weather really starts to turn bad. If we're still not allowed to do certain things inside, that's obviously going to really hurt folks. And so the goal, of course, is to locally, statewide, nationally, to stop the spread. Now, we've seen other countries. I mean, New Zealand is, you know, they haven't had a new infection in 100 days down there. Now, they're a nice little island down there, but there are ways to do this. And so, you know, I always tell folks, if you want to help businesses here, you know, do everything you can to help stop the spread. And and it's pretty simple. You know, it's not hard to do. But November, I think, you know, we're going to probably have to go through, and we've talked to our customers every week, obviously, but, you know, we're going to have to go back through and really look with these folks and come to a joint decision about how we help them stay afloat. Our goal is to keep everyone in business as long as we can.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDAC. Greg, now you guys have got your programs and the anticipated infusion here in the next couple of weeks. The county also did a release that said that there was going to be something going on there also, but hurry up and wait. Are the programs related? Are they connected? Are they totally independent? What in the world's going on?
Well, yeah, they are separate. So what we have is, you know, the money we got to make loans, and that came through the federal government directly to REDAC. Now, this other thing that the county's talking about, there was a big, you know, CARES Act package that came to the county of Humboldt, and there was some flexibility on the parts of the counties and what to spend that on. And so they sent aside a little over $3 million for direct assistance through grants to small businesses. And as I understand, there's going to be kind of two different programs. There's a smaller grant that basically helps with pandemic response in terms of, you know, do you want materials, that sort of thing. And then this other larger program that will help with investments in business resilience and growth and that sort of thing. And so I believe, I don't know if it's the draft rules or the final rules will be out, I think this week. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. It's logistical, you know, there's the policies that are, you know, who gets it and what's the use for it. That's one piece. But the other piece is just the logistics of having to get this out. We have, you know, on the order of about 6,800 employing businesses in Humboldt County. That doesn't include, you know, all the self proprietorships, one person, you know, sole employees or husband and wife kind of thing. So there's a lot of folks out there. And one of the things we've learned, and certainly the federal government learned coming out of this, is announce program, you know, and then all of a sudden, holy crap, there's millions of people applying for this. We have like four people. So remember that the PPP program started and stopped, and the emergency economic injury loan program shut off, and some of the other state stuff shut off because they were literally just overwhelmed. And nobody anticipated this. And that's partly just the lack of creativity, right?
You're right. What we need to do, I think, is to put a lock on the government buildings and force these people to get out and talk to people. I mean, that just...
Well, exactly. And so when we saw that huge rush and the government's like, wow, we didn't think it was going to be coming, you know, that'd be that much. It's like, what are you doing, buddy? Of course, you know, all of us on the ground knew exactly what was going to happen, really.
Right.
You're going to get inundated.
Hopefully we'll get an update from somewhere saying something's going on positive in this arena, and we'll get some clarification. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Enjoy the fog.
Oh, yeah.
See everybody tomorrow.